So you would therefore say that there's very little great art around in the West today?
I'd say there's virtually none.
Mm.
Oh, wait a moment now.
One or two figures?
One or two. A few people are beginning to try again, I think. Painters like Cecil Collins,
yes. Yes.
Who are again painting the soul.
Mm.
It's very hard to say suddenly.
Yes.
But basically no supreme art in the medieval sense of the Gothic cathedrals or the art of Sarnak or Cambodia, which none of us alas will ever see now. I don't know whether you did.
I didn't, Zangarek. I'm afraid, no.
Mm.
But what about the field of literature?
Of
literature. Would you say there are glimmerings of something archetypal or spiritual there today? In any particular area? Or the work of any particular author?
Well, there was Yeats. Mm. When I was young, there were still a number. There was Eliot, there was Yeats, there was Rilke, there was Edwin Muir, Vernon Watkins, a little bit in Dylan Thomas, but this is minor compared with the supreme art. I would say, well, no, Yeats is not minor, neither indeed is Rilke, but compared with the Psalms of David or the Vedic hymns or the Ramayana or Mahabharata, it's come down a long way, but I hope it's going up a little bit now, do you think?
Why? I'm not sure. I'm afraid I'm not sufficiently in touch with the literary scene.
But why should it go
say.
Up, after all, from such a world as ours, in a very late stage of the decadence of our civilization? I see no likelihood of our civilization recovering in terms of the arts. I think that the change now is that people don't regard the arts as sources of knowledge or understanding or contemplation. It is something you do as a form of meditation, as a sort of therapy. But I think we're going to a period of being rather than doing, and this is where you, Zangarek, are very much on the knife edge between art and you see it from the side of religion, that it's a sort of door into religion.
I also see it from the other side too. I see art as a door into religion and religion as a door into art. It's a sort of two-way communication, I feel.
Yes, it should be.
Yes. But, I mean, my thoughts go back to the time when I got fairly deeply into Yeats, which was in Kalimpong, of all places, on the Tibetan border. And I must say that I wasn't spending all my time practicing meditation and being ascetic and all that sort of thing. I also reread my English poets, and I read, I think it was for the first time, Yeats in Kalimpong, surrounded by Buddhist culture. And he did appeal to me very, very deeply indeed. But at that time, and that was the time when I wrote the essays contained in The Religion of Art, that is the early 50s, I felt myself in a way, and I feel this even more nowadays, I felt myself to be in some ways a complete anachronism. I sometimes tell my friends, and some of the people here must have heard me saying this, that I feel that I'm really quite medieval in spirit. I don't belong to the modern world. I have very little sympathy with the modern world. I have very little sympathy with science. My interests are definitely humanistic. They're definitely religion, literature, poetry, the arts, in the full spiritual traditional sense. And just rereading my own work recently, I couldn't help feeling that, anyway, I didn't understand it very clearly then. I didn't understand the extent to which I was an anachronism when I wrote those essays, because I was in the East, I was in India. But coming back, I felt, well, these essays of mine, The Religion and Art and so on, are just so old-fashioned. No one in the West is going to be interested in them. It's very old stuff, which, well, it's not even Victorian, you might say. But I must say, I was very encouraged just rereading the whole volume, which is the first time I've done it, really, for decades, just a few days ago, and thinking, well, perhaps I'm not such an anachronism as I thought, but there are other people in the West who feel as I do. And, of course, you're one of them. In fact, you know, you feel these things in some ways even more strongly and express them more clearly than I have done. So I begin to feel that, well, at least so far as some people are concerned, I'm not the anachronism that I thought I was, and I'm very glad to discover that.
Well, the timeless is always timely, is
right,
it not?
Indeed.
It's what in the Christian gospel Jesus called, who brings for his treasury things new and old. They are unaging. A. Yeats says unaging intellect. Monuments of unaging intellect. You look at a Chinese landscape painting, it might have been painted today, or the face of the Buddha. The avant-garde is always old hat 10 years later. Yes. The modern movement, where is it now?
Yes,
who
indeed
cares?
One feels that the modern movement is old-fashioned.
Terribly old-fashioned.
Yes.
Of course, yes, I feel also rather like someone going into battle, and suddenly looking round and realising, well, the battle's been won. Mm. And when did this miracle happen, you know, that instead of feeling one was a solitary outpost on a great plain, suddenly, here you all are, you see. The timeless is always related to time, and great art is always, its function, I would say, is to relate the timeless to whatever the time may be, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, no matter. But it is always contemporaneous, you see, that world. The eternal world is contemporaneous. That's the great test, is it not?
It's only the fashionable that quickly passes off.
That goes on.